saying something? Have you been practicing something? Huh?
Not really.
Huh. Well.
Pretty soon you might.
Pretty soon you might? Yeah. Well, there you go. Well, I just wanted to make sure that I wasn't bypassing it. You know, my announcer there, he told me that that was all the special music and all that. But how can you trust a man? Can you trust a man who can't keep up with his range finder? Sure you can. Yeah, what happens if you don't have your range finder? Huh? They're farther than they look, don't they? Yeah, sometime on that. Take your Bible, if you will, the book of Job. In the book of Job, we'll be looking there in the book of Job. Y'all are serious about this guitar thing? Nobody's going to be playing or singing nothing? Huh? In the book of Job, chapter number 12, you find the place you're able to stand. We'll look there in that chapter in the book of Job. All right, notice if you will, please. We'll be there about verse number 6. The tabernacles of robbers prosper, and they that provoke God are secure. Don't it seem like that's the way it is? You ever wonder why bad things happen to good people and why good things happen to bad people? Notice, if you will, he said they provoke God, they're secure. And he says, into whose hand God bringeth abundantly. But ask now the beast, and they shall teach thee, and the fowls of the air, and they shall tell thee. Or speak unto the earth, and it shall teach thee, and the fishes of the sea shall declare unto thee. And who knoweth not in all these that the hand of the Lord hath wrought this? In whose hand is the soul of every living thing, and the breath of all mankind. Now, Father, we ask a blessing upon the reading of the word, and we thank you for it and how good it is to be once again back here in the house of God. We bless your word, and we bless your holy name. And thank you, Lord, for leading, guiding, and direct us in thy word and by thy spirit and thy word is truth. In Jesus' name, we pray and ask it, amen. Thank you, and be seated. I want to preach a little while on lessons taught by the beast. Now, in the lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you, is that we've been preaching about and over again, and you grab hold of it from testimony and testimony and from word to mouth and so forth and all. Man, that's born of woman's a few days and full of trouble. He's born lost without God. He's born in sin. He's born without hope until he comes to know Jesus Christ in the free pardon of sin. Man may learn to be a good talker, but you cannot talk your way into heaven no more than you could talk your way out of hell. In the lesson that we're looking at, you'll find that Job's friends had bear a lot of false accusations against him. And I say false accusations, that means he wasn't guilty of what they were accusing him of. In the lesson that we're looking at, and by the way, let me say to you, is that they had given him a whole lot of information, but none of it applied to him. They had it misapplied, if you will, please. And by the way, that whenever you and I begin to look into the Bible, we recognize and know that God is a holy God and that God's a severe God. But whenever we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. Now, it takes a long time for man to forget it, but let me tell you, God does it immediately. In this Bible lesson that you're looking at, you'll begin to find out that we live in a world that this message, Job is answering his critics. But do you realize at all that we live in a world that somehow or another, they're just blind as a bat? Don't lose your text there. We're going to be using that. But there's a passage over in Deuteronomy 23 that you ought to be looking at in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 23. Now, you're going to want to keep up with that. You're going to want to remember it. And you're going to want to make it real to your heart and real to your life. And in the book of Deuteronomy, in chapter number 23, you're going to find out that there is an answer that somebody one of these days, you know, you hear a lot about the woke movement now, about transgender, that is, a man wanting to become a woman. So he goes and has his bodily parts altered, if you will, please, to where that he can be what he's claiming to be as a woman and vice versa with a man. And I don't tell you, buddy, I have seen some ugly-looking women. I mean, they may, I've got it in my, somewhere in there in my office in there. I think Brother Baker gave it to me about you can't fix stupid. And let me tell you, this world's got a lot of stupidity that can't be fixed. Now, I want to tell you right now, you're going to hear that crazy cackling word salad of a woman by the name of Kamala Harris. I call her the camel. And I feel bad about it now, and I want to apologize to every camel for even comparing her to them. But she said that the government's going to give even transgenders in prison that want to have a sex change, that they're going to provide the money for it. You hear that? Have you heard that? Now, here's a passage you're going to want to look at. Do you know whenever you tell a person that and they go that route and that route, now they've already got something radically wrong in their head as well as in their heart, but what you do is you've sealed their fate and doomed them to a devil's hell. You go to having your bodily members cut off and altered. Look in Deuteronomy 23. The Bible said that he that wounded in the stones and hath his private member cut off shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. That's pretty serious, isn't it? I mean, you'd think somebody somewhere would have enough Bible knowledge to be able to say, hey, hold on a minute, man. I know they're trying to use Dr. Billy Graham, you know, who's already dead and gone and so forth. And now Franklin, buddy, is telling them to leave his father alone and quit trying to use him to sanction what they're trying to believe. In this Bible lesson, that you'll find out that a bastard can't, verse number 2, he'll not enter into the congregation of the Lord till the 10th generation shall he enter. The Ammonite and the Moabite, they're not going to be able to go in for the 10th generation forever. And the reason being is that when you went out of Egypt, he told them, he said, with bread, water, and the way, you came forth out of Egypt, because they hired against thee Balaam, the son of Beor, the Pethor of Mesopotamia, and to curse thee. And let me say to you that this thing with God is a serious matter, because there's been a whole Bible lesson full of things that God has taught us by animals and by nature. Over there back in our text that we're looking at, do you realize to know that here's what when God said that? Is that you'll find that over there, he said, I want you to be able to learn this. And by the way, let me tell you, nature's never been able to produce anything, but God does. And you're going to find out that nature can't ever correct anything, but God can. In this lesson you're looking at, the Bible said over there in the New Testament, doeth not even nature teach you that if a man have long hair, it's a shame unto him. That's a lesson we learn from nature. I mean, you go out here and you see nature, and as a result of that, you'll find out they're busy every year shedding and then putting on a new coat. Why do you think God allows this cool northern to come in, makes everybody shiver a little bit, makes them animals start growing that hair longer, so they'll be ready with a good, full, thick coat by the time that it gets here, and then just drop it in all at one time? In this lesson that you and I are looking at, you're going to find out is that this woke movement, this transgender movement, this godless, wicked, perverted man movement, if you will, please. I've never in my life in the last week or two seen so many big gun preachers that have left the pulpit. That one man that I was telling you about, that I don't even know him, but I mean, he plasters every little old news thing that comes on. And here's a man 74 years old, and I told you about him, that he was busy dating a 25-year-old. I just found out he'd been doing it for 5 years, so she is 20 whenever he started dating her. What a sad, godless, wicked world that we're living in. And that was a pulpiteer, friend. In the lesson that we're looking at, you begin to find out and know is that there's a lot of unsaved ministers up and down the road. Somebody said, well, do you think maybe that he just slipped and all that? No, there's a person could slip into sin and be stupid and all that business there. But 5 years of it, that's more than a slip. You see what I'm talking about? In 5 years, buddy, there's a whole lot of things go on and happen and this and that. By what a godless creature and planner that must have been. But I got to tell you right now, that don't touch the hem of the garment when it comes to what's going on out there in the world. I can remember when some of the big gun preachers, I want to say his name was Ramsey, And he was a big gun preacher up there in Fort Worth, Dallas, and in that area. And the day he resigned his pulpit for being caught being queer, there was five other independent Baptists that vacated their business. Not all of them were queer. Some of them that vacated their pulpit were pedophiles, messing with little girls in their church. You understand what I'm telling you? I used to know a man that we'd go to camp, and sometimes, you know, I'd be preaching at camp, and I'd notice that he'd get real disturbed every time you preached on anything. And come to find out is that he had three or four daughters, and come to find out he was fooling with one of those daughters and had been for God knows how long when she finally exposed him. And you know what ends up happening is that when somebody perverted like that ends up messing around with their own daughter, it makes the daughter feel guilty that it's happened when she should not. Now, of course, the good Baptist brethren that you and I all know, what they did was they tried to go ahead and rally him to another church somewhere to be a youth director. I got to say to you that, if you will, please, is that God help this world that we're living in. In the book of Job here, when you begin to look into it, you're going to find out that he's about to answer his critics. You know, there's only two kinds of preachers in the world, those that are saved and those that are lost. That's just the way that it is. You're either in or out, up or down, going to heaven or going to hell, one way or the other. And let me tell you something, is that we live in a world of unsaved ministers, if you will. As the Bible said, that that's the kind of crowd that murdered Jesus Christ. They're the ones that voice their opinion against him. Let me tell you right now is, over there in the book of Psalm, chapter number 22, and about verse number 12, he talks about the bulls of Bashan that surrounded him. This is a cry from the cross of Calvary that, if you will, please, talk about a bull. And you know what a bull is? He's one that's never had the knife put to him. Did you know that the Bible teaches us is that whenever you begin to read about that crowd, they hated the Lord Jesus Christ without a cause. He just made them look bad like they were without any need to repent. And as a result of that, they wanted to crucify him, shut him up, so they could go on living in sin like they'd always done. They hated him, the Bible said, without a cause. Number two is, I want to say to you that I'm glad they're not all lost. I'm glad there's some saved ones up and down the road of life. And let me say to you that, if you will, over there in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 9, you ain't got to turn there. Also in Deuteronomy chapter number 25, he's quoting him. And also in the book of 1 Timothy in chapter number 5, is that you'll find out you're not to muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn. And he's talking about a saved man. And so the oxen is the opposite of a bull. He's been worked on, and as a result, by the hand of God and by the knife of the Lord. In this lesson that you're looking at, you'll find that's what happens when a person gets saved. Everybody in the building here tonight, if you're born again, washed by the blood, you've been circumcised in your heart, man, woman, boy, and girl, if you've been saved by the grace of God, there's a circumcision that took place and took place on the inside of your heart. Now, people are always, you know, talking about, well, if you don't use it, can you lose it? Certainly not. Could you take a man and go uncircumcising? No. Could you take a woman to go uncircumcised her? No, you could not. And so as a result of that, either God does it and it'll be permanent, or either he doesn't and you're still in need of it. In the lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out that the Bible teaches us is that you'll find that when a preacher is plowing and planting and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, is that he's had the touch of God upon his heart and his life. Now I want you to look in 2 Peter, and don't lose your thoughts still, but over in 2 Peter, there's a passage over there that we ought to look at, and I want you to look at it and just mark it, 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. Now, then back up to the book of Proverbs, and we're going to look at a passage there in chapter number 26. Now, in the book of Proverbs, in chapter number 26, there's a passage over there that's at least quoted in part over there in the book of 2 Peter chapter number 2. Now we're going to be looking, if you will please, in the book of 2 Peter. We'll look there first of all, And then we'll flip over there to the book of Proverbs, and we'll see it in chapter number 26 about verse number 11. All right? All right, here we go. In the book of Proverbs, we're learning things by animals and about nature that applies to you and I as a child of God, people that are saved and people that are lost as well. Now, I want you to look, if you will, in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter number 26, verse number 11. As a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. Now, did you see that? I want you to see that, if you will, please, is that there he mentions the dog, but he doesn't mention the sow. Over in 2 Peter, turn over there quickly there. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 22. But it happened unto them, these are people that are false in their accusations and professions and so forth and all. But it has happened to them according to the true proverb, we just read it, the dog has turned to his own vomit again. And the sow, there it is, that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Now, you know why he mentions that? Over there in the book of Proverbs, he only mentions the man, he only mentions the dog. Because no doubt is that when you begin to look into the book of 2 Peter, chapter number 2 and verse 22, there's a completion of the thought by the inspiration of God that obviously man did not need at that point in time. Now pay close attention. Is that obviously he's talking about female preachers and pastors that are going to saturate the land. Now, how do I know that? I'm glad you asked. Over in 2 Peter chapter number 2, verse 22. But it's happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his, see that masculine turn, to his own vomit. And I guarantee you right now with what man's been silent on all these years, rolling around in it, it's on, his own vomit is what he's wallowing in. Here, see that masculine turn, all right? And the sow that was washed to her, look at that. See that feminine terminology there? To her wallowing in the mire. You talk about both of them covered with puke and mud and trash and slop and nasty. And let me tell you, in the sight of God, that's exactly the way that he sees it. Is that you'll find that all this female preachers across the country is an abomination unto the Lord. And let me tell you the reason why that I know they can't ever qualify. The Bible said that if a man, masculine, desires the office of a bishop, he desires the good work. And then he goes to tell, let him be the husband of one wife. I want to say to you that if you will, over in the book of Matthew in chapter number 7, turn quickly there, Matthew chapter 7. Is that you're going to find out is that we live in a world, and if you're not careful, and that's the reason why you're not to believe every spirit, but the Bible said try the spirits whether they be of God or not. And the Bible said over in the book of Matthew chapter number 7, it's about verse 15, he said, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing. Now see, when the devil shows up, he looks like a preacher. He's not going to have a little suit with pointed ears and horns and a pitchfork in his hand. He's not. He's going to come on as he's a child of light, an angel of light, and ministers as though they were apostles and so forth and on. But verse 15 said, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're raving wolves. Now you shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Well, no, not at all. Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. I can tell you right now, as I've said this ever since I've been here, I've said it before I got here, I'm going to be saying it if I'm still alive and able to kick after I'm gone. I got to tell you something. Is that you can make no mistake about it, when somebody tries to tell you anything about what they believe or what they're preaching or what they're teaching, they don't have a chapter, book, and verse, buddy. You run backwards and holler snake as quick as you possibly can. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, a young preacher gets up and puts Noah on the ark or Moses on the ark and sticks Noah in the belly of the whale. That's fine. You won't have to dress them down. They'll learn in due time. if they're talking about scratching a board and getting splinters up under their fingernail, sometimes you just have to use a little bit of tack to attract until down the road. Now, you know, if a seasoned preacher gets up and goes to preaching stuff that and adding to it or taking away from it, you know, I'm going to be using every now and again some of you fellows. I may not use the same one every time, but I'm going to be using you, and I'll be using you repeatedly. But don't just all of a sudden get some kind of wild brainstorm that you've got a corner on truth that nobody else has got and put the church through a whole big deal and rigmarole and this and that. You know, the only kind of Bible fashion that God approves of is being able to break off your sins by doing what was right and right in the sight of God. And do you know that you ought to at least know something about the subject that you're going to bring up to where you won't be erroneous? First of all, if you're going to fast, you're not letting anybody else know about it. Amen. Amen, Brother Dennis. God bless you. That's right. That's in the Bible. That's not something you ought to be advertising. And but let me tell you, you're not going to get God to just hear you because you're done without food for a little while. You better break off your sins and do what's right in the sight of the Lord. That's a passage. Fact is, where was it? Over in the book of Isaiah, maybe chapter number 56. There's a passage over there that you ought to look at. Some of you are looking at me like, you know, I just got out of the beauty parlor and that my curly cues didn't work out or something. Look over there in Isaiah chapter number 58. I'll give you the goods on it and you can take it or leave it. One way or the other. Isaiah chapter 58, verse number 6. Notice if you will. Verse 5, back up to there. Is it such a fast that I have chosen a day for a man to afflict his soul? He's asking the question. Is it to bow down his head and his cloth and his ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast? An acceptable day to the Lord? Is that what you're going to do? You're going to do your own little thing and call it an acceptable thing to God? Look in verse 6. Is not this the fast that I've chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke. I want to tell you right now, it's not to deal bread to the hungry, and that thou bringest the poor that are cast out of thy house, and when thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh. I want to say to you that, if you will, please, is that that's a Bible fast right there, breaking off your sins by doing what's right. We don't have time to get into the other aspects of that subject that's there, but make no mistake about it, is that it ought not to be broadcasted. It ought not to be advertised. It ought not to be, you're getting the picture. In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out that there's some nature, things of nature that teach us and tell us. The Bible said they'll come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're raving wolves. I got to say to you is that the Bible teaches us that men, they're like a fish. Jesus walked by and he said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Now, do you realize that, though, that according to the Bible, the net's already been thrown and it's gathering in the good and gathering in the bad? One of these days, the Lord's going to come and he's going to separate people out of the net that the gospel has encompassed. And those that are gathered will be carried into the barn, and those that are his and those that are not will be cast away, be burnt, and so forth and on. You're either going to turn or burn, the Bible teaches. Now, I want to say to you that, if you will, that in the book of Matthew, chapter number 23, you're going to find out that there are some people that are sacramentalists. That means they're going to do things to try to make it more important to God as a way of a sacrament. Let me tell you, you can't eat nothing or drink nothing that'll make you get closer to God. You can drink stuff that'll make you get farther from God, but you're not going to ever eat and drink your way to heaven. In this Bible lesson that you're looking at, you're going to find out that what happens is that whenever he said, beware of false prophets come to you in sheep's clothing, here's how you can tell them. They're long on talk and short on conduct. And boy, as a result of that, you talk about the argument can ensue. You know, men are like fish. And as a result of that, God's gathering them like in a big net. Let me say to you that, if you will, that one of these days you're either good or you're bad in the family of God. Notice, if you will, as we get ready to close down there, that also the people are like sheep. And let me tell you right now, Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, they follow me. I give unto them eternal life, they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father is greater than all, and I and my Father are one, and no man's able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." I got to say to you that when you begin to look into it, you'll find that we are the sheep of his pasture, if so be that we've been washed by the blood, born into the family of God. You know, over in the book of Matthew in chapter number 6, he said, "Behold the fowls of the air. They don't plow, they don't plant, do anything. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them." And let me say to you that, if you will, that the Holy Spirit of God is like a fowl, like a dove. When Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist in the Jordan River to manifest who he was unto Israel, the Bible said the Spirit of God descended from heaven like a dove on him. And the voice said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased, hear ye him." So as a result of that, God uses nature and as a fowl. Over in Revelation, he talks about the unclean and the hateful bird that's going to be caged. And let me tell you right now, is you'll find that God also compares and shows us that the sparrow. Let me tell you something, is that you'll find the sparrow does not escape the attention of the Lord. And as a result of that, not one of them ever falls to the ground without the notice of the Heavenly Father. Insignificant things to you and I are very important under the eyes of God. Now, in the lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you that Mother Nature has never evolved anything. God created it. Is that you're going to find out that evolution's never created nothing. God has created. You're going to find out that what we're looking at, that everything is by the hand of God, by the breath of God, and stays here by the will of God until he's ready to remove it from the face of this earth. Now, in this lesson that you're looking at, you'll find is that there's also a lion. Remember that lion? This Bible says that over there, and I believe it's in Revelation chapter 5:5, I wrote it down right, is that Jesus Christ is like the lion of the tribe of Judah. I've got a picture of a lion on a cover, and he's standing right in the middle of every version of the Bible you can mention. He's got the KJV written on himself. Dr. Ruckman wrote it, drawed that years ago. And he says underneath there, "Turn him loose, he can take care of himself." I said all that so that you'd know this, is that Jesus Christ is like the lion of the tribe of Judah. The Bible said that's who he is. And let me tell you right now, you can turn him loose, he can take care of himself. I want to say in closing that, if you will, there's another person that likes to be like a lion. 1 Peter in chapter 5, it's about verse number 8. The Bible said the devil walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Isn't that something? The Lord, as the lion of the tribe of Judah, wants to deliver you. The devil wants to destroy you and consume you. I don't know about you, but I'm glad to know that I'm a child of the King. I've been snatched as a brand from the burning, washed by the blood, born into the family of God. This Bible says that, if you will, please, that you and I are like trees. Remember in Ecclesiastes in chapter number 11, it's about verse number 3, as a tree falleth, you and I are like trees. And one of these days when we leave this world, whatever direction you fall, that's where you're headed. If you live without the Lord, you die without the Lord, you're going to spend eternity without the Lord. If you live in the Lord, by the hand of the Lord, by the heart of God, if you trust him as your Lord and Savior, then when you leave this world, you'll just be absent from the body and present with the Lord. I don't know about you, but I'm glad that God didn't leave a lot of guesswork. You know the reason why the world's such turmoil? They don't know what they believe, why they believe, chapter, book, and verse of why they're believing it. You know why they're like that? I can tell you why. They work on the trial and error system. That's what they do. They'll try this. If it works out good, okay. If it don't, let me tell you something right now. You're here tonight, and I believe with all of my heart, you're here tonight because it's where God puts you. And if you're not here because that's where God puts you, you better find out where God's wanting to put you. And I can tell you something else, dear friend. You better make sure you make it right. You don't have so many days and so much time to be able to get your business in order, and you'll be old and wrinkled before you know it. And I got to tell you right now, is one of these days, all of this time and race that we've been running, it'll be as it were yesterday, and we'll remember what we've left behind. The Bible said that our good works do follow us. And, of course, it could be, on the other hand, there'd be some bad things that follow. I could tell you some things tonight. You just think that you know. I could tell you some things that nearly about make your ears bleed about people that you and I all love the dearest. Make no mistake about it. No man lives or dies unto himself. See? And I got to say to you that, if you will, it's good that when Job's friends accused him and attacked him and accused him falsely, Job was able to answer his critics. And you and I can as well by the blessed word of the Lord. Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Our Father, we want to thank you for allowing us to gather together like this today. We thank you, Lord, that thou art God and beside thee there's none else. I want to say thank you for loving us even while we were unlovable. Now I pray you'd save the lost, lift up the downhearted, set the captives free. In Jesus' name and for his sake.